Dr. David Caputo, political science extraordinaire, professor over at The Great Pace, and joins us now for a couple of minutes. Doctor, how are you, sir?
I'm fine. Good morning. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Boy, I tell you, a firestorm of events yesterday with this Michael Wolff book coming out on the 9th. And Fire and Fury, an inside look inside the Trump White House, and Steve Bannon once again rearing his head, David Caputo.
Yes, it's a very interesting development. It will be interesting to see what fellow Republicans do in terms of standing by the president after these attacks and exactly what this means for Bannon, given that he's lost one of his large donors.
You know, when this came out and these comments, the first thing I thought to myself was, you know, this confidentiality type agreement that has to exist. And I think in my mind, and again, not knowing anything, I'm just thinking Bannon violated a potential agreement. And it looks like a cease and desist letter now in effect here, Dave.
Yes, the issue becomes what's the details of that agreement and whether or not the courts will permit it to, you know, for him to have to cease and desist. I doubt if he will. I think he'll continue to issue his broadsides. And I think the critical thing for the president going forward is not just this initial response of the cease and desist, but whether or not he begins just totally to ignore Bannon. And what does that mean for Bannon in the 2018 elections?
You know, it's interesting in this book, and the book coming out on January the 9th, in essence, you know, Bannon with comments there, using the words treasonous, money laundering. I mean, those are tough comments, and I can't even, to be a fly on the wall in that Oval Office yesterday, I mean, you would have done anything to be just that, to see this reaction from this president. I mean, with all that is on his plate, the stuff he's battling, we'll get into that in a second with North Korea, but, you know, some tough terminology in this book here.
Oh, there's no doubt about it, not just in terms of his policy positions, but the attacks on his character and the way the office is being run and so forth. On the other hand, I think a lot of people will simply dismiss this as you know, griping and tabloid-type journalism and so forth. In spite of all of this, I think one of the significant things that happened yesterday was the president's decision to stand down from the Electoral Inquiry Commission and to make that inactive. That got lost, but it was, I think, an important development in terms of his finally, at least as far as the domestic election goes, conceding that there wasn't massive voter fraud.
And how about that? That's a great point. Probably around 7, 8 o'clock last night, word came down. And I guess you would have to kind of say, well, forget about the fraud. Forget about the people that, you know, voted and the people that did not vote, the people that were deceased and their names came up. I guess all of that now is out the window. Can we finally put that to bed, Dave Caputo?
Oh, I don't think so. I think he'll continue to assert that the only reason why he ended the commission was because of the lack of cooperation from state officials who refused to turn over some electoral files. But I think the American public never really bought into that argument. The general public did not. And it was a useful way to divert some attention. The unfortunate thing in all of this is there appears to be very little being done in terms of protecting the voting systems and so forth from the next set of attacks that may be occurring by foreign governments. And that will cause some issues for 2018 for sure.
No question about it. Talking with Dr. David Caputo, of course, the firestorm yesterday, a book coming out, Michael Wolff's book, Fire and Fury, an inside look at the Trump White House. And, oh, by the way, what about Paul Manafort, former Trump campaign chairman, Dr. Caputo, indicted on money laundering and other charges, now suing special counsel Robert Mueller, alleging the Justice Department violated the law and appointing him. All in all, no secret, a lot of the president's supporters want Mueller gone at this point in time. You figure this lawsuit, pretty big shot across the bow. But all in all, the beat goes on regarding this stuff.
Yes, it is interesting because the general thinking was that Manafort was, in fact, cooperating with special counsel. This doesn't seem like it's a form of cooperation. It'd be interesting to see what happens to the lawsuit. Obviously, if it's held up, I mean, if he's granted the relief, then it certainly puts Mueller in a much more difficult position. I think what we're seeing, though, is an attempt by the president and his allies to make sure that Mueller is either one of two things happen. Either that Mueller is put in such a discredited position that whatever findings he finds, especially if anything is critical of the president, will be discounted. Or number two, laying the groundwork for the president at some point to simply say, okay, enough's enough, and I'm going to abolish the special prosecutor.
Dr. David Caputo with us, a political science professor, of course, over at the great Pace University. Interesting, as we noted prior, regarding the back and forth of Kim Jong-un and, of course, the president, and who's got the bigger button, who's got the bigger nuclear weaponry, in essence. I got to tell you, it's not pretty. When you hear the rhetoric and everything else and the mindset of this dictator and a trigger-type situation that could come in a millisecond, it's not the type of phraseology, let's put it that way, you want to hear.
No, you're always concerned about some sort of a nuclear accident or some sort of a misreading on the part of not only North Korea, but on the part of the president or on other actors around the world. And I would argue that this type of response to the North Korean leader, while rhetorically it may fascinate people, it doesn't do anything in terms of helping the situation, especially given that part of the initial statement argued, and apparently South Korea is going to go ahead with some initial talks with North Korea. So what that means for the United States remains to be seen. Remember, the president was very critical of South Korea in terms of its trade policies earlier in the year. So and South Korea has been very wary of the president. So is this the beginning of some sort of change in our policies with South Korea and therefore our defensive posture versus Japan and the whole area of the Far East? It remains to be seen.
And remains to be seen as well if a North Korean delegation will actually participate in the South Korean Olympics, which begin on the 8th of February. What's your best guess there?
I think that's a possibility. I think there's another possibility, though, which no one has really discussed that much, and that is that the president may decide that it's not safe for the U.S. team to participate, and we could end up with the Olympics simply collapsing. I think that's unlikely, but I think it is a possibility at this point, given everything that people are talking about and the mercurial relations between North Korea and the United States at this point.
Well, I tell you, that would be a bombshell of a story if that were to happen. Talking with Dr. David Caputo. Another particular item that was out there and has been somewhat silent. No one's really talking about it a lot, and that's, of course, the Orrin Hatch situation, Dr. David Caputo. And the fact he's retiring at the end of 2018, Senator, of course, GOP Senator from Utah. And guess whose name has popped up? Mitt Romney. I mean, that is a very strong possibility. And I find it somewhat fascinating, the fact that Mitt Romney was killing the president all during his campaign and then turned the other cheek and now could be in the same type of team, nonetheless, come next year. Fascinating stuff. Mitt Romney, Orrin Hatch, and the president here.
Yes, it is fascinating. And you have to wonder whether or not the president will, if Romney is the announced candidate, and there's a lot of evidence to indicate he will be the candidate, whether or not the White House will try to primary him in the hopes of defeating him in the primary, which I think would be difficult to do given some of the preliminary polling out of Utah. So then the critical question would be, and remember, we're a year away from this, but a year from now, if you have Mitt Romney in the Senate, what exactly is his role? Is his role as a rank-and-file Republican, or is his role as a persistent critic of the president?
You know, it's interesting, in Iran, you know, I know after 6 days, the head of Iran's Revolutionary Guard stating yesterday the string of anti-government protests apparently over, but after a few hundred arrests, and I think there were 21 deaths or so, no sign that the protests are abating. So many now are reading the announcement as a warning instead of a fact. And if one recalls, these protests began as response to Iran's, of course, stagnant economy and other types of negativity over there, but quickly grew into a forceful protest of the Iranian government's authority. And the president has come out very strong on this. And, you know, you have to kind of admire him in a sense in the fact that he has come out strong, not only against the government of Iran, the Palestinians as well. I mean, he has pretty much set the tone as far as, you know, not giving aid to many countries who are in violation of these situations.
Yeah, well, on Iran, I think it is interesting that he has been so open. Not surprising, however, given his position on Pakistan and other countries at this point. But going back to Iran for a moment, I think it does indicate that, in fact, the economic sanctions that were put in place as part of the nuclear arms agreement and some of the other sanctions that have been in place really have had a very negative impact on Iran, and they're starting to feel it. So the issue becomes one of what do they do internally. I don't think they can permit these protests to continue and to escalate into anti-political protests, which they're morphing into from the economic basis. So you know, it'd be very interesting to see how this plays out, whether this weakens Iran or if this forces Iran to become more aggressive in the Middle East.
Talking with Dr. David Caputo. Doctor, anything more to come out regarding this new book? Of course, featuring the former White House chief strategist Steve Bannon. Really going off regarding the Trump administration's ties not only to Russia, calling a campaign meeting between a Russian lawyer and several top Trump figures, called it treasonous, called it unpatriotic. Trump, of course, off the wall yesterday, not happy at all, torching this ex-aide, saying Bannon lost his mind after he left the White House. And, of course, as we've been talking about, Trump's attorneys stating it that he has sent a cease and desist letter to Steve Bannon, who, by the way, later in the day on a radio show called Trump a great man, quote unquote. What more are we to see from this show today, if anything, do you think?
I think the thing to watch for is what exactly is how do other Republicans and the other leaders in Washington respond to this? Do they simply write it off as tabloid journalism, or is there an attempt to really try to discredit it? And remember, there's a lot of things that have to be done quickly. We have to get a budget passed or get a joint resolution, putting it off for another couple weeks. So a lot of important decisions coming up in the next week to two. And whether or not this proves to be more than a distraction, something that becomes a continuing issue or not, remains to be seen.
Certainly a wait-and-see approach. Can I thank you enough on a tough day as far as weather is concerned? Dr. David Caputo out of base. Sir, we'll talk to you soon. How's that? And a very happy New Year.
Very good. Very good. Thank you. Take care.